Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jaden Fields has had such a brilliant tournament. Fields went 3-for-5 in that game one win against Oklahoma in April, including a triple which left the yard. Very odd play. Fields actually hit a home run in the game. Didn't touch home plate, and it was ruled a triple as she was called out, as big brother Justin watches on from the Georgia cheering section. Amazing thing about that game, after Jaden Fields missed home plate, was called out, she picked up the winning hit in the ninth inning. She walked it off. Some poetic justice for Jaden Fields, who grew up wanting to play for Georgia pretty much her whole life.
Yeah, associate head coach Tony Baldwin told us that the time during the pandemic, that off time, was a game changer for her. She just started to put in the work, oftentimes working out with her brother, committed to getting stronger, healthier, being able to put in the work on defense too. And it was really her defensive change that found her a spot in the starting lineup.
31st start of the year in right field tonight.
It's a family with a lot of stars in it. Jaden Fields, even before the tournament, but batted 308 with 7 home runs and then performed admirably for the Georgia Bulldogs in the tournament. You can follow her at Jaden Fields on Twitter, and she joins us on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome, Jaden.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're good. We're appreciative of having you on today. And we had a lot of people talking about how much they enjoyed watching the Women's College World Series and the level of pitching that was in it as well. Not just the hitting, but just the overall athleticism. What's it like playing that tournament? And I'm sure it was pretty rewarding, given everything that happened last year, to be a part of it this year.
I mean, it was awesome. It was really a dream come true. I think every young softball player dreams of playing on that stage. So, you know, when I was around 12 years old, I had a tournament in Oklahoma City where we went to go watch the games during our off time. So just to now be able to do that and, you know, go from sitting in the stands to playing on the field was just a dream come true. And I think an experience I'll remember for a lifetime.
And we talked a lot about your brother's baseball ability and how that's helped him with his athleticism as a quarterback and his throwing platforms. What other sports did you play?
Pretty much everything, anything you can name besides like lacrosse. I did swim, cheer, basketball, soccer for a very short time. What else did I do? Track, everything. And pretty much I had quit all of those sports. And then finally I was like, oh, I want to try softball now, mom and dad. And then I wanted to quit softball. And they were like, no, like you're not quitting this one. So I just had to stick it out. And I eventually fell in love with it. But yeah, we've always grown up playing all different kinds of sports in our family.
I can't imagine the level of not just athleticism, but competition that must have gone on in the family. What's it like growing up knowing you and your brother have such a high level of talent and are able to play so many sports? I can't imagine what high school must have been like for you guys.
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, everything has always been a competition. Ever since we were young, we were, you know, racing up the stairs, or we'd get off the bus stop and see who could make it home faster. So we definitely made everything a competition in our house, including my younger sister, Jessica. You know, she's definitely taken over that role of just being very competitive. So yeah, all three of us have just been competitive our whole lives and have carried that over onto the field and just onto other parts of our lives for sure.
I think about it from a parent's perspective now and just wonder, first of all, I mean, obviously the amount of expense with all elite travel teams and camps and trainers. And then the timing, like just how do you get everybody where they need to go for so many different activities? And that's not even talking about academics even. Like just how do you need to have like five different parents with five cars?
No, I definitely would say my parents are superheroes. Without them, we would be nothing. You know, they're the real MVPs of all of this. And they've worked so hard just, you know, so that we could go and enjoy these sports and have fun and be able to do the things that we wanted to do. So they've definitely sacrificed a lot, whether that's, you know, one parent taking a kid here, the other here, and then calling a teammate to pick the other one up and just always constantly doing stuff as soon as they're off work, you know, picking up somebody from practice. So definitely dedication and a lot of money and time has been put into, you know, the development of us being able to play at the level we do. So couldn't appreciate them more. So they've just been awesome the whole time for sure.
Well, it's been really fun to watch. Of course, your brother getting drafted and being a part of this city, but also you being on the stage that you're on and the significance of the University of Georgia, too, when it comes to you both and how that shaped you. And it's been reported that you fell in love with wanting to be a part of Georgia's athletic program for many years. What was it like growing up knowing that this is the school you wanted to play for? It was obviously something that was a family dream. And then being able to have it now the way it is, not just with you, but with him too.
Yes, I think it was always kind of meant to be where we are, me at UGA, him at Ohio State. But I think I got really lucky. I feel like during the recruiting process, it's difficult for a lot of people to kind of decide what college they want to go to. But I just kind of always felt that this was home for me. I'd gone to multiple camps growing up at different schools. And, you know, they were nice. They had great facilities and things like that. But UGA just always had my heart and it felt right. And then also me being interested in journalism, you know, they had one of the top journalism schools. So that also made the decision a lot easier to go there. So, yeah, just luckily it just felt right. The atmosphere, the fans. I couldn't be more happy with my decision, you know, making it that was so young. I committed when I was in the ninth grade. So a lot of people kind of were like, you don't know what you want yet. But, you know, for me, I just knew it was always in my heart and I haven't regretted that decision once. So
what would be your dream job in journalism?
To be sports broadcast. I look up to a lot of analysts like Maria Taylor, Holly Rowe, you know, women's in the sports. So just being able to talk about sports, you know, I've been doing sports my whole life. So just be able to have that as a job would just be a dream come true. So, yeah.
And I wonder what sport you think you'd be best at this point, having experience with so many. What would you want to analyze?
I want to say definitely I'd be better at softball, just because, you know, I'm the most familiar with that. And I think I have the most knowledge when it comes to that. But I took a sports media class this past year and I covered a lot of basketball. And so I've enjoyed that a lot, too. So I think those would be the top two that I'd be best to cover. But I definitely want to, you know, expand that in do more sports. I also did a little bit of soccer, which I really wasn't familiar with until this semester. So that was really cool to experience. But and then, of course, football, too. You know, Justin playing football. I've been watching it, obviously, a lot. So really anything, but definitely most familiar with softball.
I think internships are definitely possible. And I'm also glad to hear in Northwestern country, you shouting out Georgia's journalism school. As somebody from Texas, I appreciate that. It's good to know people have other options besides just Syracuse. Northwestern, yes. And Missouri. When it comes to seeing what Justin has been through and how his past has shaped where he is right now and to see how he's being received in Chicago, where the Bears have wanted a quarterback for so, so long at the level that he played at in school, what does that mean to you as a sister?
It means a lot. You know, I really look up to him. I have my whole life. So just to see his hard work, you know, pay off and his experience shape him into the young man that he is. I don't think I would have wanted it any other way. And it's inspired me and my younger sister as well, just to continue to, you know, work hard and understand that, you know, God has a plan and any obstacles or challenges that are facing your way are for a reason and everything turns out how it's supposed to be. I couldn't be more excited for him to be in Chicago. I think, you know, I've heard you guys have a really great fan base. I can't wait to get up there again personally just to kind of explore the city and see what Chicago is about. So I'm really excited and really inspired by my brother, you know, what he's done and what he's going to do in the future.
When did people in the family start to think that, okay, there's a lot of good athletes, but then to be a first round draft pick as an NFL quarterback is another thing entirely. When did the dream become real? And what was that like when there was sort of an acknowledgement that it's not just a good athlete, it may be a special one?
You know, I feel like I personally and my family have known for a long time the type of talent that Justin has had. And I think for a long time, it took a lot of other people to realize, hey, like, this kid is really good. But, you know, I think when, you know, the draft happened and who went first round, it was like blessings. That's all I could think of. It's just blessing on blessings. You know, a lot of people dream of it, but not even the 1% get drafted in the first round. So for that to happen was just, you know, amazing. And I've always believed in him. I've always known that he was good. So just for other people to finally, you know, see that, recognize that, you know, it's great. All I can say is blessings.
You talk about your competition with him. At what have you memorably beaten him? Has there, and I don't care how small, I don't care if it's a game of Candyland. I like, where has there been a time, because you don't forget these things and he doesn't either. Have there been noted times in your rivalry where you've had big victories?
You know, I honestly can't remember which he won and which I won, but I just know it was competition and everything, whether it was running up the stairs, who could finish their food first, who could get to the bus stop. I do remember this one time where I guess we were like in elementary school. This is how early this competition thing started. And we would do like multiple choice problems, like walking home from school. So it'd be like, what's 10 times 11 or what's 5 times 5 type thing. And it's like, could you get it right or could you not get it wrong? It's like, if I get it wrong, he'd be like, nope, it's this or this or that. And it's just like crazy how much it would fire me up or vice versa at such a young age. But honestly, it's just really small things like that. I can't remember exactly like a time that I'd beaten him, just because, you know, we made everything a competition. So no, I don't remember anything specifically, but I do know, you know, we made everything a competition.
Well, it's also fun to hear how well-rounded you two are when it comes to not just the academics and athletics part of it. I think that's most every NCAA student athlete, but it's also the idea that you guys did play a lot of sports. You talk about your cheer background being part of it too. He, of course, has the big baseball background that we talk about. What did your parents tell you guys about being able to play multiple sports before you decided to choose just one, and for so long, you know, relative to your youth?
Yeah, I think playing multiple sports is super important, and different sports can help you in a different part of your game elsewhere. So I played basketball while I was in high school, and that helped my footwork when it came to softball. And I know footwork helped Justin in baseball when it came to, you know, being on the football field. So it was really important to them that we played multiple sports for at least as long as we could, until, you know, we got too busy and could only focus on one. But it was really important in our family. Just, you know, really just staying busy was a huge part of it too. It's just having something to do, you know, and just, you know, get our creative minds going. So yeah, just playing one sport wasn't just to play that one sport. It was to help us in another one was the biggest thing, reason as to why, you know, our parents wanted us in multiple sports.
Our guest is Jaden Fields, University of Georgia softball outfielder here on the Bernstein and Rahimi Show. Did you ever run into any territorial coaches? Because multi-sport athletes usually have that story of us, the coaches saying, well, you got to commit to me. You got to commit to this sport. I don't want you over here. Or, you know, take off those softball pants because we got a game here. And multi-sport athletes tend to run into at least one coach that doesn't like sharing you.
Yes, absolutely. So unfortunately, I had to stop playing basketball after my sophomore year because my coach, he would want us to be at practices during the summer. But during the summer, I had a lot of softball tournaments I was traveling to, or I had softball practice, and I was committed to softball during the summer. So there wasn't a whole lot of basketball that I could make it to. So I got cut my junior year of high school, even though I think that, you know, I could have played. So me and another softball player actually did get cut from the basketball team just because he wanted all of our time, which was really unfortunate because I enjoyed basketball so much. And it was just nice to, you know, have a different outlet besides softball just to kind of switch it up. So yeah, did run into that a little bit. But I think for the most part, if they're a good coach and they understand, you know, sports as a whole, they understand that multiple sports is good for you. And I think that there should be, you know, a balance and working things out. Like at UGA, we have an athlete who plays soccer and basketball. So I think that's, and I really admire that. And I think that's so cool how, you know, her coaches can communicate, you know, find time for her to do both. So I just wish a lot of coaches were like that, because I think it really does benefit an athlete when they can play multiple sports.
Well, and given the talent that you two both have and just the accomplishments, I think there's a lot of people who will look up to you guys too. So if there's a younger athlete who sees the path that you've taken to get to the University of Georgia, to have that breakout season you've had, or your brother being now the Bears quarterback and seeing the hope that he brings, you know, what's the advice that you want to give like a younger athlete who might have been in a similar position to you, who's good at a lot of things?
Yeah. It might sound a little cliche, but you know, whatever you put your mind to, you can do it. If you believe in yourself, that's all you really need. Growing up, I didn't start out as, you know, the best softball player. I think I was always had like the natural talent, but it just took me a while to really, really get it going. But, you know, a lot of coaches, I want to say, doubted me and my ability. And luckily there were some that believed in me, but, you know, I didn't start out, you know, coming out just really good at softball. So just, if you believe in yourself, put the work in, and I promise it will pay off in some sort of way, whether that's in your sport or maybe in another, you know, outlet of life or what it can teach you. So I think that'd be the biggest thing, is believing yourself. That's really all you need. And if you put your mind to it, you can do it.
Before we let you go, we have listeners who want me to ask this question. Who of the two of you, you and your brother, Justin, who is the better dancer?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to just have to give it to him. Justin is the better dancer just because he's doing it all the time. But I don't think I'm far behind him. But I will have to give that one to Justin. So, you know, make sure y'all tell him to, you know, bust a move every now and then so he can, you know, expose his dances. Because I'm not going to lie, he is a pretty good dancer.
They have club dub after the games if there's a win. But the videos that have been online so far are pretty good. If
you guys want to, weight room video is a thing.
It is.
Yes, yes.
I'm so glad that was asked because I was going to ask it too. So thank you for letting us know.
And as before we let you go, you are, as a redshirt sophomore, you've got a lot of softball left, and this was sort of your arrival on the scene year, getting the starting job. What are your goals now for the remainder of your Georgia softball career?
Just to continue to grow, be a leader to my other teammates on the team, and, you know, just be able to, you know, use this platform to my advantage. I know there's a lot of young girls who, you know, are looking up to players that look like me. So just, you know, setting a good example there and just continue to trust in God and his plan for me, and just playing my game and having fun is the biggest thing. I have 3 more years left, and I don't know if my career will go much longer than this. So just really enjoying it and just having fun with my teammates.
Well, we will hype you right now. Aspiring broadcast journalist. Something tells me she'll have a job. Get her an internship, people. And also Georgia Bulldog softball player Jaden Fields. And yeah, her brother, by the way, is Justin. We thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me. Bear down.
There it
and
is.
And enjoy your summer.
Yeah, have a good summer. That is Jaden Fields, University of Georgia softball outfielder.
Very cool.
Indeed. We got more tickets, more Cubs tickets. I've got another 4-pack for Sunday night, so you don't want to miss out. I already gave away 1 4-pack. I told you that you got to be listening for that cue to call. I don't even know when I'm going to give the cue to call. That's how mysterious this all is. Also, Cubs pitching coach Tommy Hotovy was on the station earlier. We should hear from him as well with the latest on the condition of the Cubs pitching staff. So all that as we build up to a big weekend series. Bernstein and Rahimi on the Score.
Odyssey is your new home for all the audio that matters to you. That's Odyssey.
A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Download the Odyssey app today to listen to the Score. An Odyssey station.
This is
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Talking about having full capacity, it's going to be, I mean, we're so pumped to come home. That's all the guys were talking about the entire trip home on Wednesday from San Diego, was just looking forward to getting back here to Wrigley and being in front of the fans and just that feeling of opening day kind of all over again. Trevor in particular, I think he's progressing well. You know, like the big thing with the whole, you know, appendectomy and everything is just, you know, it's kind of just day to day as everything's healing, how he's feeling. He's able to do some movement and play catch and things. And it's just a matter of, you know, getting to a point where starts to feel good and can activate that core. Then it should take off and be relatively quick once he gets to that point where he's not favoring anything. But he's doing great overall.
That is Cubs pitching coach Tommy Hottovy, who was on with Mully and Haw this morning. That's the latest on Trevor Williams post-appendectomy. And, yeah, I guess I never really thought, even though it's laparoscopic, that having holes cut in you means it's going to take some time before you get full range of motion there.
Well, and think about the torque that your body creates in a windup. That delivery, I think that that's going to be pretty hard on anybody. You're sore for a while. I don't understand why we still have the appendix, and we will be dealing with this for the rest of eternity. It's just a shame that it happened to him this season. Cole Stewart, you know, starting today, filling in for the injured Adbert Alsilay, who has a blister. And Dan, what an important piece of information from Meredith Wills.
Yeah, and you passed along, like you actually shared the data with her about both Jake Arrieta and Adbert Alsilay, because if you missed it before, the astrophysicist, when told about increasing blister problems, at least sort of anecdotally here with the two that the Cubs have had, she said that would be expected because of the nature of this ball and how it looks like a previous ball that did cause blister problems.
And she noted the important piece of it being the stitching too. I can't get over that today. That was such a huge piece of information. So now we know what to look for. But unfortunately, how's it going to affect the teams you follow?
I don't know. The blisters are notoriously sort of unpredictable, fickle things, both in their appearance and then how they're managed. And everybody's got some sort of home remedy, whether it's pickle juice or the Moises Alou treatment or the liquid adhesive. You know, that's what I always used, and I know for my son through youth baseball and now through high school uses the liquid bandage and seems to work okay. You have to reapply sometimes during games, but I'm sure MLB has figured out something more optimized than that.
I always get them from shoes, and I'm a savage. I just pop the corner of them and drain them. It's gross.
Yeah,
not what you want to be talking about on a day like this.
No, but like,
but the blister problem.
You shouldn't pop it and drain it because it's the cushioning of the lymph fluid in there that's actually your body protecting itself. Oh,
why,
look at
why,
this.
Why, thank you, Jay
look
and
at
Ray.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes, this would be
sushi and salad. Mm. Sushi from Sushi-san.
And happy 50th birthday to Let Us Entertain You. They are celebrating their anniversary by bringing us food from Joe's, from RPM Italian.
Sushi-san, which is one of my personal favorites.
What do you have?
I have the RPM Italian salad, which is fantastic. And I have a couple of rolls and sashimi from Sushi-san. Sushi-san is one of my favorite places. You may or may not have seen me there. I may or may not be drinking tea out of a mug that says, "Damn, it feels good to be a gangster." That may or may not have happened. It's a little embarrassing how many times I will go to that place, but this is pretty cool.
Now, it's always lovely to get food, especially from our friends at Let Us Entertain You. And, you know, Jared and RJ Melman, longtime friends of the station and so the various shows. So Jay Zawoski takes a picture from the culinary kitchen and he posts the picture. It's a selfie with free food behind him, but it's mostly Zawoski face. And it just says, "Free food is back at work. Thanks at Let Us Eats." And he says, "Hurry up, Rick Kemp." Nothing wrong with it, except if you're tweeting a picture of the food, I don't need Zawoski face in my food picture. He's a lovely guy and not an unattractive man, but give me the full shot of the chicken.
You just want the chicken.
I have the
That's chicken. What this is about. Don't criticize Jay's face. I retweeted it and said, happy 50th to Lettuce Eats, where you can find me pretty often if you pay attention. Ha ha. It's true. I really like Lettuce Entertaining Restaurants. I'm not going
to
hide it.
There's no reason not to. I practically grew up at Bones, which is now Elwood's Pine Lodge. When that was Bones back in the day, that was the joint. That was like great ribs, great twice-baked potatoes. And in the front, they always had the video game that everybody wanted to play. I don't know who was deciding how to put, like when, you know, people were playing Scramble and then it was Donkey Kong. And then when Donkey Kong Jr. came out, they had that there. It was like whatever was hot, they had. Ms. Pac-Man when it first came out.
Ms. Pac-Man was the jam. I was a big fan of Ms. Pac-Man, but I can never make it past like level, well, on the arcade game, I can never make it past like level 8.
It depended if it was a fast one or a slow one. You know what I mean? Sometimes you get one where Ms. Pac-Man moves really super fast, and it was easier to work at that pace. I don't know why it was. I don't know. Maybe I just lost patience. I lose concentration as I sort of lost patience.
You losing patience?
Yeah, right?
I can't say I'm surprised. We're very much Friday-ing real opening day here, aren't we?
Yes, we should. I mean, this is one of those days.
Sushi.
Yeah.
We don't salad. I may or may not want to steal some of the mac and cheese from Joe's.
Sushi. I got salad. Bring it into Parkins. Yeah. This is a day where until the actual baseball starts, because it can go sideways on you. You know, the Cubs can be down 5-0 after the first inning. These things happen. So you enjoy the anticipation. And if you're just joining us, when Colin Faulkner was on earlier, he was saying that there have been, not surprisingly, staffing challenges of making sure that they're bringing people in from the outside. He broke a little news about how some White Sox vendors were sent up to Minnesota. There's been like a vendor exchange program for concession workers because people are running short as we ramp up to full capacity. It should be said too, I've been seeing these sentiments posted on Twitter. Now that just because your favorite restaurants are full capacity does not mean they are fully staffed. Service may be slower. You may be impatient. Don't just have some sympathy for some overworked service sector people right now as we reopen, whatever it may be. Just try to be a little patient and just don't be an ass to service workers right now, especially in this reopening, because it's really, there's a lot of people doing the jobs of multiple people now.
Yeah, it's just going to take a little longer, and I think it's also just the process as well. We have not talked to any White Sox after they end up taking that series from Toronto. Is this a good time to bring up the fact that at least they got back on the winning track after what I think was probably the most frustrating loss of the season last night? And oh, by the way, at what point do you start to freak out? Because are they a critical mass with injuries now?
Yeah, they're getting close if they're not there yet. Nick Madrigal out indefinitely because it is a tear to one of the aspects of the hamstring. And it's not just a pull, so it's not just a partial. There's something there that needs to repair itself.
Additionally, this might be the case where, do you remember the second Carlos Rodon injury, not the Tommy John, but the
shoulder,
the more significant shoulder, not the bicep, but the shoulder. So it was bicep, then it was shoulder, then it was Tommy John. But the fact that just because somebody's considering it doesn't mean you know until later whether or not they got surgery.
Good point.
So we might not know about Madrigal getting surgery potentially, or making the decision whether he was going to rest or get surgery, until perhaps after the surgery.
When we get the press release saying he's undergone successful surgery, right?
Correct. So that's something that we should probably also temper as well. But when that news was announced, a lot of people said, okay, now it's time. That at some point at the trade deadline, if you really want to be serious about contending here, you need to go out and get outside help.
They may have to. Obviously, you're making those phone calls. I want to know the prices. I want to, at the very least, I want to know what things are going to cost me if I decide to go that route.
And people are talking about calling up Jake Berger. And I am happy to see what is going on right now at the AAA level. I really am. But I also think that you have to have some what you call tradable prospects, where there's an element of mystery there, and they haven't been up at the big league level yet, or maybe they do need a little more seasoning. White Sox traditionally have done that with their minor leaguers, where they've let them stay a little bit longer in the minor leagues than other teams. They don't rush them. And do you potentially trade Jake Berger for something else?
That's obviously, it's a valid question about how the White Sox value their own prospects as opposed to how other teams value their prospects. Because when you go back to really good organizations, it's been said about the Braves for years. It's sometimes been said about the Cardinals that the organizations that develop are able to play the Jedi mind trick on you a little bit, where they're able to make you think prospects are better than they do. It's self-scouting in that regard is critical. You trade the people that other teams think are good. You keep the guys that you know are better than everybody else does. And that is being very honest internal scouting and making sure everything's cross-checked and that you know what you know and you know what your opponents don't know. And that's how you trade to build.
Correct. But I don't know if trading Jake Berger is the answer if you're just getting an outfield rental.
I don't know either. I want to know the prices. That's what are my costs and what are my downsides to doing some of this? I want to quickly share a couple of White Sox observations. First of all, that's the Dallas Keuchel. That's the model. That's how it has to look.
Yep.
Those are the calls he has to get. That's the way he's got to move eye level around. That's the pitch mix. More of that. Secondly, whatever NBC Sports Chicago is doing with that camera, whichever director or producer has figured, I tweeted something last night, that freeze frame slow-mo of the ball in the pitcher's hand, we get grip, we get release and rotation all the way to the catcher's glove. It is elite sports television. It's fabulous. I cannot get enough of that. It's been a great broadcast all year. The technology they've introduced, their pitch tracker, everything they're doing is great. But that particular view, I don't know who came up with it, whether it's a producer or a director or they work together. The fact that they know the broadcast will use it properly, more of that, I can't get enough of it, and it's great.
I think Lawrence, who has Stoney at Noon, was just like preaching along with you, or at least like saying preach with his hand. The additional piece of this that I think wasn't just, I was happy to see from a pitching side being Dallas Keuchel, but also Evan Marshall, that changeup that he had to end the inning against Bo Bichette.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
More of that too. When we come back, we've got fresh sound from Javier Baez addressing his health and his contract status. And also, I'm giving away 4 more tickets to Sunday night's game. And during the break, I'm eating Joe's fried chicken.
Sushi-san for me. And it was a curveball. I'm sorry, I forgot. We're a little distracted over here. But that curveball to Bo Bichette, that was good stuff. Dan's having some Joe's Fried Chicken. I feel like it's a good place to take a break. Listen, we have Cub tickets giveaways next on The Score.
This is Ian Happ, your center fielder from the north side. Connect Roasters and I are happy to announce the Home Run Club, a coffee subscription for baseball fans. You'll get freshly roasted coffee shipped to your door on the first of every month, access to exclusive game-used merch, personal notes from me, and most importantly, when I hit a home run, you'll get $5 towards coffee and merch on connectroasters.com. Our goal is to have 1,000 members enjoying great coffee and giving back to the community. For more information, go to connectroasters.com or homerunclub.coffee. Together, we can make a difference, one cup at a time.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
We got Cubs tickets to give away in just a moment, but I thought we should hear from Javier Baez. He had a lot to talk about on a variety of subjects just now before the game as reporters were asking questions of the Cubs shortstop.
Kind of the news of the day. It's not really about you so much, but Rizzo was on the radio this morning and said that he is not vaccinated. And I think he's the first guy on the team to just come right out and say that. You're a guy that's done, you know, public announcements. You're representing the pro get vaccinated campaign. How does that impact the team that's trying to get to the 85% threshold when one of the leaders is a guy that's not getting vaccinated?
Yeah, he would just ask, and you know, obviously, he didn't lie about it. And like we always say, it was optional to everybody, to the public, to the players. And you know, everybody thinks different. He just don't believe in it right now. And you know, we respect his decision. I didn't know about that. You know, like I said, I just got here. But you know, I respect his decision. We know who the people are that are not, so, and we respect them, you know.
You think you guys will get there?
We'll see. Hopefully we get there. If not, you know, we try our best to do it.
Javi, do you think there's an advantage or a disadvantage to not being fully vaccinated at this point?
I don't know. Like I said, everybody thinks differently. And, you know, the vaccine was made, you know, pretty fast. So a lot of people don't believe in it, you know. I got vaccinated because I got kids and I got to protect them, you know, and it was a family decision. But, you know, I respect all the people that don't get it.
Javi, has there been a lot of discussion among the guys about, you know, hearing each side? And you said everybody respects each other, of course, but have there been guys that have tried to convince other guys to change their mind?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the whole team is trying to get it. But, you know, like I say, we discussed it. If you want to call it, we argue about it, we did. But at the end of the day, you know, we all men here, and we respect each other. And, you know, if we get there, fine. You know, obviously, we'll do more things. But if not, we will stay the same, and we'll stay together.
Javi, what do you think the atmosphere is going to be like today with
41,000 bucks? Oh, my God, I can't wait. You know, I'm thankful I can play today. And, you know, I can't wait to take the field and see you around.
What's up with your thumb?
I just got jammed the last four games in San Fran, and it just got pretty big. But it was just jammed. No x-rays, no nothing. I feel good. I feel good today. I hit in the cage and I hit outside, and everything felt good. So
it's the right one, right?
Yeah, the right one. Yeah,
that's up. Javi, Rizzo and Bryant said in San Diego that they thought the Cubs could sign all three of you guys if they wanted. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. You know, they got the decision, so it's not up to us. You know, hopefully we stay together. If not, obviously, I wish the best to them.
Is that something that's off the table for you during the season, extension talks, or are you?
I'm not focused on it, to be honest. I'm more focused on the game right now. I believe it can still happen. If not, we just wait to free agent and see what happens.
Javi, if one of you guys signed and the other two were not signed, do you think that would cause any issues? You know, when somebody got a long term deal and the other didn't.
Depends. We'll see what happened. You know, on the signing and the extension and next year. You know, it depends who we got next year. But we're not thinking about that right now. We think about this year. You know, day by day, and trying to bring that championship back to Chicago.
Why has this team been so good? I mean, it seems like Ross and you guys have gotten every bit out of each other and played up to your potential.
Yeah, you know, I think since Rossi got here, you know, he's done a great job in spring training, doing everything our ways. Like I said before, he's doing everything our ways for us to not have excuse to not be out here and work. You know, and it's been great. It's been great communication with the players, and it's been great to the team.
How do you think your game is going offensively and defensively right now?
Well, you know, I'm trying to see the ball right now. I don't worry about the strikeouts or the homers. I know it's going to be a long season. Obviously, I want to hit homers, but I want to hit more for average and make more contact right now. So I'm just trying to see the ball.
Javi, just in anticipation of fans being fans, how is getting ready different coming here today, just knowing that it will be a full ballpark?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be really exciting, especially with this weather today. You know, not cold at all. It feels like Puerto Rico, but, you know, all the fans are going to be really excited to see us, and we obviously excited to see them too.
Javier Baez, just now before today's game, good questioning from Gordon Whitmire about the news regarding Anthony Rizzo. That just sucks, and I don't agree with Javier Baez. I don't respect it. I don't respect it at all. If I'm a teammate, I'd be insulted by it, and if I were talking to Anthony Rizzo about it, I would want to know specifically, why are you not vaccinated? Why specifically? And if there's information that you've been given that says there's something about this vaccine that could be bad, where did you get that information? Who provided that information? Where did it come from initially? Like, these questions have to be asked. We've got to follow up. We've got to follow up on how people are getting bad information and wrong information and making terrible decisions. I got to find out. It's just too bad.
At what point do you think the questions become HIPAA-related then?
Just to
have that discussion.
No, he said it. He said, I'm not vaccinated. That opens the door. Then that's over. Because you can ask, why? Why are you not vaccinated?
You can.
He doesn't have to say.
But you might not get an answer.
Right, but you don't have to hide behind HIPAA. I mean, I would just say, who told you that? Who told you that? Well, somebody said it does this. He's worried about being magnetized. I mean, how pervasive is all of this pernicious misinformation about dangers in the vaccine?
Well, and I think it's like you said, if there's a medical reason or what he perceives to be a medical reason, then what's the discussion?
That may be. But even as a cancer survivor, we know the research has been done on that. Get vaccinated.
That's the question that I think a lot of people would have is given how at the forefront Anthony Rizzo is when it comes to supporting cancer research, making the donations he has.
Right.
That's an open discussion.
It has to be. I mean, look, we're going through it right now at my charity when we're talking about staff and campers and everything. We're having all these discussions about all the different vaccines with all of our medical staff and our medical committees and trying to make sure that we do the best things and do right by everybody involved. It's just, the research is there. The medicine is there. The science is there. Pay attention to it. Ignore everything else. I don't respect that decision at all. And that is above and beyond, before you even get to the competitive advantage of being at 85%, which they're not going to be because people are dumb.
But you can't ask that to Javi Baez about Anthony Rizzo.
I know. I of course you can't. Although I will say, Javi's really become very proficient at speaking a second language very, very quickly. That's a different cat from when he first arrived.
I've always enjoyed talking to Javi. I feel like he puts his information out there. And even when you heard his attitude about him talking about his strikeouts and his home runs, I think that's fairly important. He talked after the last Cardinals series, if you'll recall, on Sunday Night Baseball about how they needed to improve the runners in scoring position and what he needed to do at the plate as well. So it's always nice to hear Javi discuss the baseball side of it too. I have a nice feeling that against a pitcher with an over 5 ERA, they have a good chance of making that happen today.
Yeah, and welcome back to the text line for all of the anti-vax loons from the hinterlands. This is just, okay, I want to go into the weekend happy. Bernstein, quit acting like you're the smartest guy in the room. Who told you to get vaccinated? What proof is there that it's good for you? There are two sides to every story.
The reason why we're fully capacity
right now. Why do you think we're open? There are not two sides. There are not two sides. It is good for you. There are not two sides. Get vaccinated. Jesus, these people. So aggressively dumb and selfish. All right, that's enough of that. Let's be happy. Let's give away some Cubs tickets to caller number 6 to the contest line. 312-540-0670. 312-540-0670. You'll win a 4-pack of tickets to this Sunday's game against St. Louis, a 6:08 first pitch. Visit Cubs.com/tickets to get the seats you want. Enjoy. Transition with Lawrence Holmes is coming up on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.